Yo, as promised, it's your girl Queenie, and I am back with part two right here on the Relationship Zone with myself and Shondi. We're going to dive right into the second part of this conversation. I hope you enjoy it. This part, you know, we take a pivot. We stop talking so much about that lover that got away, and we begin to just focus more on how we show up in relationships. Forgiveness and the baggage that we carry. We pick right back up on that. But we also talk about how we show up for our family, our children, you know, our friends and other family members. It's important for us to understand how we show up in relationships. So again, it's your girl Queenie here on the Relationship Zone. Enjoy.
Think if
there's nothing wrong with it.
Oh my God, I think if we begin to look at that, like the value that we have on our own peace, yeah, you have to let some of this other stuff go, especially at our age. Like, oh, I'm good. I got a birthday coming up. So, you know, I can't take no more of this baggage with me down this road at all. I have to create space for love and for happiness and for opportunity and for experiences, you know, even within my friendships, I'm the same way, you know. So I'm just glad that, like, we've grown.
Yes, me too. I couldn't imagine still being that 20-year-old now.
Yeah. So you have your daughter is how old?
I have a 16-year-old and a 10-year-old.
Okay, so the 16-year-old, she knows your story with dad.
Yeah.
How does she feel about this love circle that you guys wound up in?
Don't say we're crazy, but she, funny thing is, she didn't want us with anyone else but each other.
Oh, girl, stop!
She didn't care who I dated. She didn't like anyone. Wow. She tolerated them because she was a kid.
Yeah.
But she didn't like them.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I would say that for her, it's pretty exciting. She'll probably say, if she was home right now and I asked her, she'd probably go, they're all right, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she likes it. Oh. And he was really, really brutally honest with her. Like, I'm not that parent. Mm-hmm. I'm honest with you, mm-hmm. And I could be open with you, mm-hmm. when you become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
As a child, I don't want to expose too much because then I don't want you taking on a burden that's not yours.
Yeah.
So, but she's a very mature girl, very smart girl. Both of my girls now, even my youngest, she knows why me and her dad are not together and everything. Mm-hmm. So we don't hide anything from them. And I learned that from my first breakup.
Yeah.
About not keeping those things from them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never, and I never will, speak negatively about their dads. Mm-hmm. Like, even with my oldest, when her dad and I was split up those 10 years, she never heard me speak poorly about him.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't. And just like my youngest one, I still wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And because I think it's important. You know, they'll see for themselves the type of man that he is. Yeah. But I don't want to be that person to paint a bad picture and then you take that and run with it.
Yeah.
I'd rather you come to your own conclusions about things.
Yeah, because that's, you know, they'll repeat what we're saying to them. They'll repeat that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And they'll be looking at dad sideways.
What?
You know,
say it again.
Yeah, they'll be looking at dad sideways, like he'd be getting a side eye, and unfortunately, they'll see men in that light,
and that's what I didn't want.
Yeah,
so I wanted to be able to grow up and to have healthy relationships, whatever they look like, friendships, intimate relationships, professional partnerships, whatever it looks like. I want them to be able to be healthy. We talk about communication and everything. My daughter's working now. Good. And even in the workplace, and she comes home to talk about things, and we talk about it. I'm like, okay, all right, let's try to handle it this way. Mm-hmm. Because I've been there. And that's one thing we tell them. We've been there. We're here. We're parents for a reason. We're parents to be your guide. Mm-hmm. God, that's why God placed you here with us.
Yeah.
We're your guide. And I'm not going to steer you down the wrong path based on the decisions that I made. And I'm not going to be a bitter person and allow you to go and make those same mistakes.
Yeah.
I love you too much for that. And I want better for you. I want our people to rise. And
that's
if you
right.
are mine, you will rise. And we're going to break these generational curses in the process.
Yes.
So, yes.
I love that, girl. I love that. Your babies are lucky to have that type of spirit around them. You know, that because we both know what it's like to not have that. To be misled, yes. misguided, you know? So it's really nice that you have, you know, the desire to instill this into them. And it's important. And they're able to see you live it out. I try to do that with my kids as well. You know, I think they get it, you know? I do, you're talking about your daughter, and I do tell my daughter that I want to make sure she learns how to have good, healthy friendships with her girlfriends. You know, don't be catty, don't be messy. You know, find a way to talk through things. You know, we need, even as women, as Black women, we need to be vulnerable with each other.
We do.
We need to learn what someone being vulnerable with us looks like and what it means to that person and how much they're giving up, and we need not to violate that space. And so I try to teach my daughter that, like, you know, move with integrity, because I learned about integrity through failing in relationships. You know what I mean? So it's just beautiful that you're instilling that into your babies. They're gonna be women one day, you know?
They're going to be women one day. And my daughter graduates next year.
Yeah.
That's her senior year.
Yeah.
And so when she's gone out of sight, I still want to know that she's okay.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I want to mentally be okay that if she's in any situation, she will be able to figure out how to handle it. And if not, she will trust me enough to call.
Oh,
or her dad.
Yes, yes.
Or her grandmother. Someone in her village. And that's one thing I kind of always was sad about, that I never had a son.
Yeah. I have one. You want mine?
I'm good.
Oh, okay.
We at 10 now. I don't want an extra at this point. I got my son, Lewis, the cat. That's what
yeah,
I have.
Yeah. But you wanted a son.
Yeah, because, you know, I just wanted to raise a strong Black man.
Mm.
A respectful Black man. A Black man that loves the Black woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Black man, just, you know, to raise our little prince into a king.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Mm-hmm. But now I work with children. So
okay.
I find that just as rewarding. And the little, I'm still very fond of the little boys because I see them. Mm-hmm. I have a little boy that I work with now, and I see him as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see where his life can go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm really called to him to help turn that around.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
To help, I don't know, whatever capacity it may look like for him. But as long as he sees a Black woman who is strong, who cares and loves and is nurturing him.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to see that. He lost his mom.
Oh, yeah.
So,
and
he has other women in his life, but I want him to know that there are women outside of your family.
Yeah.
And so even, you know, it's just, I feel for them. I'm scared for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm scared for my daughters too, for other
of
reasons.
Course.
But I'm scared for the boys a little different.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel you, honey. I feel you. Yeah, he's lucky. Again, you know, I think a lot of our, you know, I mean, we're passionate about these children and we want to be there for them. And they're lucky to have people like us in their lives. And I try to honor that, you know what I mean? And it's just, it's beautiful to have, you know, women,
you know,
or men that you can rely on, depend on, you can tap into, get, you know, a resourceful, get information, learn about life, and they're not out to hurt you. It's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. So right. He's lucky, he's blessed. He's lucky and he's blessed.
Yeah. But how was it for you?
What do you mean?
What,
oh God, let's see. So it was okay. We were a military family. We had a good kind of community, and you know, my kid was very involved in athletics and things like that. And, they grew up in a very diverse community, so they were okay on that side. But the reality was they didn't understand reality, right? They didn't understand that you know, there's a thing called blackness, and because of your color, you may deal with prejudices and you may deal with, you know, rejection and things like that. They really didn't understand it because they weren't exposed to that. And so probably when they were about, my son was probably about 16, 17, I really had to break it down to him. And he may have begun to understand a little earlier, but I know for me, I spent a lot of time when he was around that age because I realized that he had not had a different type of reality. He had been kind of in a bubble, you know, and, but the experience of raising him as a boy was, it was awesome, to be honest with you. Now, as a young man, I see the error in my ways, girl. I see that because I became a single mom when a little later on when they were older, right? And when I became a single mom, I realized how I had coddled him so long, and I pushed my daughter to be strong and to be independent, and I had coddled my son and did everything for him. Parents, if you're listening, you have young kids, do not do that. Be mindful that you do not do that. I find in my research that I'm not the only one. There's a lot of moms that do this, and it is showing up now as he is a young man, and he has a baby now, and it shows up with how he moves in life. I didn't prepare him properly. I thought I was, you know what I mean? I thought I would give them everything that you didn't have, do everything for them that people didn't do for you, always be there to help. And I, in fact, enabled him. And so now I'm reteaching and retraining, and I'm telling him, like, you know, I should have done things differently with you because I need you to know this now. But the experience, I mean, you know, if I could do anything differently, it would just be to be balanced in the nurturing and the teaching of independence. I would be more balanced in that. But yes, the experience of raising a young black boy, although it was scary because I know the reality when he goes out there, it was beautiful. He was, you know, just raising my two black children in general was beautiful. You know, being a mom and being a good mom was the only thing I wanted to do because I had just didn't have a good mom. I'd seen really good moms and I wanted to trump that. I hate to say that, sorry guys, but anyway. Yeah, so I wanted to be that.
It's fun.
Yeah, I wanted to be that. I wanted to be that mom for them. And I wanted to be that, you know, that mom for their friends and, you know, the neighbor's kids and all that. And so the experience was really beautiful. And now they're older. My daughter's 19, my son is 22, and we have more adult-like conversations. And I listen more now because, you know, when they're young, I raised them, because mama said it. That's not necessarily good. So if you're listening, parents, young parents, give your children a voice. You still may have the funds, but give them a voice. Let them get it out. do not shut them down. But now I definitely
am
sure that I'm listening. And you said something earlier, I'm present when I'm listening. I'm not thinking backwards. I'm not thinking forward. I'm present in that moment. And I will ask them, how are you doing? My son the other night was on the floor just having a really bad day. And I just came in the middle of the night and I sat with him on the floor, just listening to him, just chatting with him. My daughter, she's stressed out, frustrated with school. She's in college. I'll just stop everything and I'll just listen to her. Now that's something I've had to practice, Sean B. That's not something that I just do because I'm such a fast moving person. But I had to practice that because, they're our babies. They are our babies.
They are.
Yeah, and if I'm talking relationships, I got to make sure these relationships are right, you know? So that's been my experience with them. Love being a mom. Love it.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Love being a mom.
I feel like every day I'm scared that I hope they don't grow up screwed up. I think I say that to myself all the time. I hope I don't screw them up.
Girl.
We'll see what happens in a couple of years. This experiment.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Like we don't know.
And I'm doing. But they're teaching me to be more vulnerable. Because this time I'm like, look, mommy's just not with the shits today. Like, yeah. I can't get it together. I'm not. So I don't know. And I just tell them exactly how I feel. Today not a great day, or I got something to do, this is on my mind. My oldest, my 16-year-old, I love her so much. I love them both. Mm-hmm. A 16-year-old drives me insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I know she's a teenager and she's growing up. I don't like it, but yes. I have to deal with it. And so that is a conflict with myself. I don't like that you are now trying to be a young adult and you're going to be moving out soon to go to college, and I'm not going to like that. So, yeah. So she's like, but mom, like, today she wanted to wear a hat to work. I said, but that's not the logo. That's not the hat that you wear to work. There's no logo on that hat for you to wear to work. I just want to wear the hat. I'm going to leave the hat in the car. Mm-mm. So I just looked at her. I said, you're going to leave it in the car. I'm gonna leave it in the car. I said, So she said, here, give it to her sister. Here, take the hat back in the house. That's fine. Because you and I both know you about to go in that place and act a fool with this hat on.
Yeah.
And I ain't got time for that.
Yeah.
So I'm teaching you now, don't start the extraness.
Yeah.
Please, Lord, when you come see your job, it's a time and a place for joint theater. Course.
Yeah, of course.
But don't do it at work. So it's been so many rewarding experiences, and I've learned so much about myself in this process, and it's been hella scary, crazy. It's so many adjectives. I tell every new parent, at first I'm like, oh, you start scratch.
You had a few
years ago. And so, not to discourage you, I'm like, it's a great process. Just stay present in the moment, because you miss a lot. Like, it goes so fast.
It goes so fast.
You miss so much. And then next thing you know, they're a freaking young adult talking about they want to go on a date with somebody. And you're like, who? What? Where they from? What's their blood type? Who their family? What's the history?
Exactly. Yeah.
And they know none of that information.
No, they're just going out.
Just like we used to do. And it's like, but why?
Yeah.
So, I love the relationship. I'm going to really enjoy adulthood with them.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. New parents, period. You know, if I can give you any advice, talk to them. Talk to your kids. They're not just...
they're smarter than we think. They are far smarter than we think.
Yes, and they have issues. It's amazing how many kids I talk to who tell me the things that go on at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like they don't have anyone to talk to, although their parents are there. So talk to them, allow them to communicate, use their voice for you.
Yeah.
We don't want them to, but we need to allow them.
Yeah, we do. And I, you know, on our previous podcast, you know, we talked about that, how important it is. I saw it. I totally agree with you. We need to allow our children to talk. Because we can teach them how to talk. You know, we can teach them what level feel, what, when they raise up a certain level, how it comes off as disrespectful. We can teach them so that we learn how to communicate in a healthy manner in our homes and just amongst ourselves. Like, you know, again, I think that we all need to level up when it comes to that, you know. So, you know, because again, hey, we could be having this conversation and we're talking about our kids, the one who got away. So we need to take ownership of how we show up in these relationships.
Yes.
We need to do that.
And that's funny because how many kids, just think about how many broken relationships between parent and child there are right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and that could be the one that got away. Oh, she got addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
She was, he's prostitute. He's selling drugs. He never comes home. It's just that piece, like, where, and we always think, where did we go wrong? He probably did nothing wrong. But he needed to, he or she needed to communicate, and we didn't allow that space.
Yeah, we didn't allow it.
So, it's huge.
I've definitely reflected back on when I know I should have done better, you know? And I try to do that because I want my children to see, like, you know, dang, mom came back and said, or mom talked to me about that, because I want them to realize that sometimes we don't always get it right. We just don't. But what makes it better is when we can own it and we can talk through it and then try to reconcile those differences.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Shambi, girl, listen, I have enjoyed talking with you tonight. And your love story sounds so beautiful. And I don't think mine would turn out quite that way. The one that got away is married and he has a beautiful family and he's still just as fine as ever, girl. But anyway, but he is happy and he's in love.
But I appreciate you sharing.
Girl. He's happy and he's in love. But, you know, I wanted to share this tonight because it has just, you know, I kept seeing it on different social media. We were just kind of like talking about it. And I said, you know, I have one that got away. And what did I learn from that? You know, I learned a lot from that relationship. And it has helped me now because I've always said, if I ever get another opportunity and love that way, I will know what to do with it. And again, I'm, you know, met an amazing person. And so I'm embracing it and we'll see what it turns into. But what I will not do is take this person for granted as I did the one that got away when I was 19, 20, 21, you know. So it's beautiful.
That means you're more open to receiving.
Yes.
You were closed. Oh.
Oh yeah, I was closed. I was closed to years. Yeah.
Amazing.
Absolutely. That last relationship I was in, and that was totally toxic. That made me shut completely down from deciding, you know, thinking I want to be in a relationship. I'm like, absolutely not. But I more so didn't want to be with anyone because I wasn't healthy after that relationship. That relationship was just not a good situation. And I refused to show up. Like I said, I learned from that, my first relationship. Do not show up in a relationship and you're not healed.
Yeah.
I was damaged from my mother's relationship, my mother and myself relationship. And you know, you're young, you know, I didn't have the capacity to process. I didn't have that at all. I was just trying to flee, you know? But now I'm healthy enough to know, look, first of all, I don't need to show up in your life a wreck. So it's best that we don't connect right now. You know what I mean? So, after that last mess, I'm like, you know what? And I was healthy going into that relationship and he was a complete wreck. Tore me completely down. Listen, girl, you know it's true.
Yes, because I went through that as well.
You healthy, you good, and you get with this poor wounded soul. because you're strong. I was strong and I'm healthy. And I'm like, okay, you know, it's okay, baby. You know, I'm going to be your light, your sunlight. Don't worry.
I was strong. That was a tough 7 years of my life.
Let me tell you, I was only with them for almost 2 years. I was with him committed for a year. And in the second year, it was just a disaster. I mean, emotionally, it was a disaster. And I showed up pretending I was okay. And I should have walked away. But I was more concerned about leaving him and abandoning him. You know what I mean? So I became more unhealthy, trying to stay in something that was a mess. But what I knew for sure was, after I left that relationship, which was, we're talking just a couple years ago, I left that relationship. It was very public. I left that public relationship. And I went on a healing spree. And it's been beautiful. And so, yeah, I opened back up to receive love and experiences, and it feels good because, again, I'm healthy and I can sniff out unhealthy a mile away. And so I have ran, I mean, track and field.
Yes. You better run.
Girl, so I feel good right now. Let me tell you, I have my daggone sneakers tied up so tight. I've been skating through these last two years. Like, I'm good. No.
Yes. Absolutely not. I had to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Every time we have to do
because
that.
Because they come at you.
Yes. They see that you seem really healthy and sharp and you on point, and they.
Yeah, that's it. Let me go mess this up.
Girl. Now, how did you handle that before we go? I just want to know, how did you handle it since you say you went through it? How did you handle that?
I divorced. I divorced him. I had to go.
Yeah,
I was still really messed up afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still really messed up afterwards, but I had to realize that I care about me.
Yeah,
and it was just too much. Mm-hmm. It was too much all the time, and I felt like life should not be this difficult. A relationship should not be this difficult.
Exactly.
Love should not be this difficult.
It should not.
And I would stress, you know, the importance of finding that peace, finding healing. You know, go talk to somebody. You need to go to a therapist. Just find you a good group of friends. Yes. Somebody that you can talk to.
Yes.
And never could get there. So then it went from love to the verbal abuse to then we started having the physical aggression, although never laid hands on me. Mm-hmm. But it was just like, yeah, see, one of us is going to end up locked up.
Exactly.
And I don't want that to be me.
Exactly.
So I'm going to cut my losses at this point. And I mean, it's no love lost, but at that time, that's not the love that I wanted, I deserved, or I felt I needed. So I decided to pass on that. I decided to say, hey, I care for me a little bit more than this relationship. And it's not easy. Because we get comfortable in our mess.
It was not easy.
But it got to a point where it was like, all right, we're turning this way now. Mm-hmm. Then we're going down. We're going the opposite direction. And I don't need that. I don't need to be stuck in this relationship another couple years. And the next thing you know, it doesn't work out well. One of us ends up hurt.
Absolutely, yeah.
So... it was not, any abusive relationship is not a great relationship. And he said he went to therapy. I hope it was for that. I'm not sure. Because I tried. I did. I said, I would go with you to anger management. I would go with you to whatever it is you need me to go with you. But if we are going to stay together, you're going to have to do something. And the refusal to do something was my out.
Good for you. Good for you.
So that's one thing I will say. That's why I say it took me till now or later on in life to realize my strengths, mm-hmm. what I'm willing to accept, to love myself, to build that self-esteem up. Because when we don't, then we allow people to treat us however.
Absolutely.
And it's not okay.
It's not okay.
So it's not okay at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Any kind of abuse.
Yep. I'm with you. Yeah. We don't have to put up with that. And we shouldn't put up with that. We should not put up with that. So yes, good for you. Good for you choosing you. I've interviewed several women and men that had to choose themselves over a toxic relationship, and over toxic behaviors within relationships. So good for you, because you're right. It could have ended poorly for everybody. All right, girlfriend, listen, it's Friday night. I've had my glass of wine. You've had yours. We are ready for the weekend.
Yes, I'm waiting for my husband to come home.
Oh, good. Good for you. Hey, good for you, girl. I can't wait to have that time with me and my boo when I make it official. And I'm able to be like, I'm waiting for boo to come home. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. I cannot wait. I look forward to that, girl. So enjoy your boo tonight.
Thank you. I'm telling you, whenever I thought it would have been a couple years ago, you're like, what?
Yeah, the one who got away and came back.
And he came back like a boomerang.
Yeah.
So,
girl, that's beautiful. I love it. It's a Black love story.
I love it. Yeah. We love our story.
Yeah, beautiful. I love it. I love your story. All right, Sean B, listen, I'm gonna let you go. I'm gonna hang out here just a little longer, and I'm so glad that you joined me tonight. And
of course,
had a good time. You definitely gotta come back. You gotta talk more. I know you talk a lot about mental health and therapy in our community, so I would love to welcome you back for an engaging conversation around that as well. So you have an open invitation to come to the Relationship Zone anytime.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm going to be in touch with you and keep following you and seeing all the stuff that you're doing. So
yeah, thanks.
yeah. I look forward to it, sweetheart. I look forward to it. So I want you to have a wonderful night, and I'll see you soon in the new year, because it is upon us.
Hopefully, we're about to leave COVID behind in 2020 as well.
Yes, so let's
pray on it. Yes. All right. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye. All right, guys and girls. That was a wonderful talk with Shondi. I really enjoy chatting with her. You know, she's so DMV, you know, she's very laid back, and she's a therapist. Like, I love that about her. I guess I just want to wrap up by saying, you know, when I think about the one that got away, right? I want to be very clear that my speaking about that relationship is not because I want him back. We had our time. But it is more about the fact that I think we sometimes forget the part that we play in broken relationships. And here it was, I was a young adult. I won't say teenage, I was like 19. So when we got together, 18, 19. But here it was, I was a young woman. And unfortunately, I did not know how to love this young man. And that was on me, that wasn't on him. I have never experienced a love like that before, and I've experienced beautiful relationships. You all know that, you know, I have two children, and, you know, their father and I were together for years, and sweet guy. But and I love him dearly. He's my friend. He's married. He's happy. We split. You know, he's a great guy. But that first love that I ruined taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about myself. It taught me a lot about how unhealthy I was when I entered that relationship. And I think the biggest lesson that I now walk away with is not to enter relationships unhealthy. And when that relationship, if that relationship shows itself to be unhealthy, and if you cannot heal it, then you need to leave it, right? I'm all about fighting through things. I'm all about making it work. I'm all about all those things. But I am also about recognizing what unhealthy looks like and not allowing anyone to tell me to hang in there when I know that it's not right. The one that got away made the best decision for himself. When I left him, he stayed gone. He did try to come back once, but the best thing he could have done was moved on to someone that could truly love him and receive him the way he was. And I couldn't. I just couldn't, and I wouldn't. I wish I would have been able to. I do, but I just couldn't. And he deserved to be in a relationship with someone that was healthy. And he found someone that was, and I don't know the ins and outs of their relationship, but I do know this. 20 years later, he's still there. 20 some years later, he's still there. And that is what he deserved. I could not appreciate him. I could not appreciate the love that he showed me. I took it for granted. And I just wasn't prepared. Now I'm prepared, of course, and I have been for years since, we're talking 20 some years ago, but I tend to compare how I show up in relationships to what I did then, and I didn't want to repeat that behavior. So I share this with you all because there may be some of you out there that, you know, totally sabotage the relationship because you were not healthy. And you may even live with the guilt of it. I mean, you know, I did. I lived with the guilt for years, you know. Just felt bad. Like, God, I can't believe I showed up that way in that relationship. I can't believe I did him that way. Ooh, that was hard. It was terrible, you know. Now, you know, do better in relationship with your significant other. Do better. Yeah, I do believe that if you're meant to be, you'll be. But I know it takes work and effort. So you got to put some work in because these things will not just manifest themselves without some type of work. So a note to my future partner, if you're listening and if you exist and if you are in my life currently or if you're waiting for me somewhere, I've learned a lot along my life path. And my desire is to treat you well, and it's to be treated well by you. And my hope is that you find me in this healthy space that I'm in. I am a work in progress. I will continue to evolve. And my intent is to love properly all those that come in to my midst, and to the listeners, I hope and I wish you well on your quest for love and on your journey for love and in your experiences with love currently. We're going to get this right. We have to get this right. Loving our children properly, loving our spouses, our significant others, our sisters, our brothers, our family, our friends, ourselves more than anything. Loving ourselves properly. Don't look at reality TV to try to figure it out. Don't listen to some trap music or whatever you call this stuff nowadays to try to figure it out. Lean in with your heart and your mind clear about who you are, what you desire, what you can bring to the table, and what you need to receive in order to thrive. And maybe there won't be another one that got away instead. Like Shambi said, it'd be the one that came back. Or my biggest and ultimate desire is the one that stays. It's your girl, Queenie. You've been listening to the Relationship Zone podcast. I'm out.